वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। We chant chapter 2, verses 6 to 10. न चैतद्विद्म कतरन्नो घरीयो न चैतद्विद्म कतरन्नो घरीयो यद्वा जयेम यदि वा नो जयेयुः यद्वा जयेम यदि वा नो जयेयुः यानि वहत्वा न जिजीविषामः तेवस्तिता प्रमुखे धातराश्राः न चैतद्विद्म कतरन्नो घरीयो यद्वा जयेम यदि वा नो जयेयुः यानि वहत्वा न जिजीविषामः एव स्थिता प्रमुखे धातराश्राः कार्पण्यदोषोपहतस्वभावः पृच्छामि त्वां धर्मसम्मूढचेताः यश्रेयस्यानिश्चितं ब्रूहितन्मे शिष्यस्तेऽहं शाधि मां त्वां प्रपन्नम् कर्पण्यदोषोपहतस्वभावः पृच्छामि त्वां धर्मसम्मूढचेताः यश्रेयस्यानिश्चितं ब्रूहितन्मे शिष्यस्तेऽहं शाधि मां त्वां प्रपन्नम् नहि प्रपश्यामि ममापनुद्यात् यच्चोक्षमुच्छोषणमिन्द्रियाणाम् अवाप्य भूमावसपत्नमृद्धम् राज्यं सुराणामपि चाधिपत्यम् नहि प्रपश्यामि ममापनुद्यात् यच्चोकमुच्चोषणमिन्द्रियाणाम् अवाप्य भूमावसपत्नमृद्धम् राज्यं सुराणामपि चाधिपत्यम्। सञ्जय उवाच एवमुक्त्वा ऋषिकेशं गुडाकेशपरन्तप नयोत्स्य इति गोविन्दम् उक्त्वा तूष्णीं बभूवः। सञ्जय उवाच एवमुक्त्वा ऋषिकेशं गुडाकेशपरन्तप नयोत्स्य इति गोविन्दम् उक्त्वा तूष्णीं बभूवः। तमुवाच ऋषिकेशः प्रहसन्निव भारत सेनयोरुभयोर्मध्ये విషీదంతమిదం వచః విషీదంతమిదం వచః తమువాచ ఋషికేశః ప్రహసన్నివ భారత సేనయోరుభయోర్మధ్యే విషీదంతమిదం వచః. So after Lord Krishna whipped up Arjuna in the second and third verse and directly told him, "You, the behavior of yours on the battlefield is strange to me. This is anarya. This is not upright and straightforward." Arjuna comes forth straightforward. He says, "How can I fight against Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of worship? They are worthy of worship. So you are a Janardana, you are an Arisudana, you are a Madhusudana, you are somebody who have been all the time killed only negative people. Madhusudana, killer of demon, Madhu. Arisudana, killer of enemies. Now Bhishma and Drona are not my enemies. Not only are they not my enemies, I owe everything to them. And I am in a situation where I need to kill them. So looking at that, he says, better indeed is to live on alms in this world than to slay the most noble teachers. But by slaying them, all my enjoyments of wealth and desires, even here, will be stained with their blood." In the sense, he is saying, it is better for me to go back to the forest and live on alms. So we said, living on alms is only allowed for three ashrama dharmas: the brahmacharya, vanaprastha and sannyasi. It is not allowed for the grihastha, because grihastha ashrama is actually the ashrama of contribution, right? So when you are preparing yourself to contribute, which is the brahmacharya ashrama, it's fine. And having contributed, being in the grihastha ashrama, then when you move into vanaprastha and sannyas, then also it's okay. And also in sannyas ashrama, when they live on bhiksha, it is basically simple living with high thoughts. A person has risen above his mind, his wants, so he is able to lead his life in a frugal way. So that is why even when a sannyasi goes and begs, if he doesn't get anything from one house, he doesn't keep on begging from different houses till he gets something. You ask, it's not given, then you accept, this is what God has ordained for me today. So with, in short, with as simple as possible, a frugal living, because your mind's wants have decreased. In fact, you have no wants whatsoever. All your thoughts are only to get back to the self. So even in the world today, you see people who worked, and after retirement, what the government gives them as pension or whatever, compared to their salary, it's frugal. You understand? Even if you go to America, what is that they get as social security compared to what they were getting when they were employed and working? Right? The idea is, you should have risen above, having lived for many years in grihastha ashrama. If you had lived, like it's called as grihastha ashrama, means you consciously go through the artha kama, but keeping dharma, putting dharma above artha and kama. You are artha, as you know, is nothing but wealth. Kama is entertainment. The wealth that we earn is for us to entertain ourselves. So in grihastha ashrama, you are allowed to earn wealth and entertain yourself, but underlined by dharma. Right? So artha and kama underlined by dharma is grihastha ashrama. Thus when you live like that, over a period of time, you rise above wealth, entertainment and everything. So your life becomes more and more frugal. It is a fact, as you gain the knowledge, as you become stronger from within, your needs and wants and dependence on the external world decreases. So in fact, you have capacity to live with almost nothing. Your mind is free. It's not that you will hate the objects of the world, but your mind is not dependent on them. So the measuring scale for spiritual development, one of the measuring point is your dependency on the world should decrease. Your wants and needs should decrease. Your thoughts on higher things in life should increase. So a sannyasi lifestyle is simple living with high thoughts. So here when Arjuna says it is better for us to live on alms, he is, and let us not kill them, Bhishma, Drona and all these people. He is trying not to do what he is supposed to do, and he is about to do something what he is not supposed to do. Being a grihastha, you cannot live on diksha. So it is amounting to thinking of doing what you shouldn't do, and what you should do, you are trying to avoid. So we pay for omissions and commissions. The world is governed by laws and laws and laws. So the law of karma goes by our actions, isn't it? If we had omissions and commissions, then accordingly the consequences will be. So in the class we say, when you were studying in the school, you were asked who killed Ravana, you would have written Rama killed Ravana. That's the right thing to do there. But in life, for you to understand who killed Ravana, you must understand it as he killed himself. Because Lord Ram is not a serial killer going around trying to find people and kill them. It is Ravana's own omissions and commissions that ended his life. Rama was only an instrument. Totality will find its own instrument. The law will prevail. Understand? So therefore, this verse number 5, when he says this, deep inside Arjuna is not comfortable. So slowly the doubt comes, which is good. It's better to have doubts, because doubts will not allow you to stay in doubts. Understand? So here in verse number 6 he says, nor do we know which is better for us. Still there is little ego in Arjuna. Instead of saying nor do I know, he says nor do we know. He includes Krishna also. You've done up to 6, isn't it? So nor do we know which is better for us, that we should conquer them or they should conquer us. So that rajasic tendency of conquering is still there in Arjuna. See, 12 long years he was in the forest, and yet he has not come out of the need for the pleasures and all that. Right? It's not as though his mind is turned towards the self within. So therefore, he very much belongs to the world, and very Kshatriya qualities are still lurching in Arjuna's heart. So the very sons of Dhritarashtra, whom having slain, we do not wish to live. We happen to be our cousins. We all grew up together. There are so many things that we have done together. So how can we kill them? And torn between these two. If I kill them, then it will be like killing my own friends and relatives. If I don't kill them, then I am not doing my duty. So to be or not to be, that is the question. Hamlet says that, right? To be or not to be. This sort of confusion happens to us many times. Should I marry? Should I not marry? Should I stay in India? Should I not stay in India? Should I do business or profession? Should I work? You know, this rajasic mind is, you would have decided something in the morning and evening, you will think the decision is not right. Like this, Arjuna gets the doubt. He still not openly come out and admitted that he doesn't know. The doubt has come. It's a better sign. It's in fact a good sign, because Now Arjuna will slowly, the possibility of Arjuna slowly surrendering has come. So Lord Krishna must have been waiting for this situation. Because a wise man is not supposed to speak until he is asked for. Not because he is arrogant or egoistic that he waits for others to ask. Simply because unless he has got somebody who is asking, his communication will not get through. You cannot speak to walls. You are not supposed to give advice to anybody when they have not asked you for. Before you sow the seed, you have to prepare the soil. Isn't it? So the farmers prepare the soil before the seed can be sown. So if you sow the seed without preparing the soil, nothing will happen. So Arjuna must be a student who is ready. Krishna has the answer, but he cannot give it till he surrenders. So the most important quality in gaining knowledge is awareness of one's own ignorance. The problem is not ignorance, but the lack of awareness of our ignorance. And secondly, after becoming aware, admitting it. We even quoted Josh Billings, I think. He says, the trouble with most folks is not so much their ignorance, but they're knowing so many things which ain't so. So the problem is, we think we know, when we actually do not know. So Arjuna also, till now, was thinking he knows and he was talking too much. Then he got the doubt, because Krishna whipped him. And then also, it took some time to wake up. So then in verse number 6, he clearly said, I'm confused. Now after confusion, the next stage is surrender. When you become aware of your ignorance, of your lack of clarity, what you should do is, you must surrender to someone who has clarity. You do not know how to handle the situation. So you must go to somebody who knows how to handle. Surrender. In the area of ignorance, we must surrender. And this Arjuna Sharanagati happens in verse number 7. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavaha. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavaha. Prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha. Prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha. Yashreyasya nishchitam bruhitanme. Yashreyasya nishchitam bruhitanme. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhavah. Prichamitvam dharma sammuda chetaha. Yashreyasya nishchitam bruhitanme. Shishyasteham shadimam tvam prapannam. Karpanya dosha upahata swabhavaha. My nature is overpowered by the taint of pity. He admits openly. See, the scene is Kurukshetra battlefield. On the battlefield, when the bugles have been blown, they are all ready to start the war. Even in such a situation, when he was confused, Arjuna openly admits, my nature is tainted by pity. If you see in the previous chapter, I pointed out to you, he was talking about what is tainting Duryodhana, not what is tainting him. In the beginning, we are also like this. We try to find solution from outside. Every attempt that we make in life is trying to find solution from outside. Blaming some external factor outside and trying to rectify that external factor outside. Isn't it? We will never succeed that way. So Arjuna was blaming Duryodhana's greed. Although these people whose intelligence has been all tied by greed don't see any harm in killing Kipkankin friends, why do we not, O Janardana, who clearly see harm in destroying friends and relatives, withdraw? This was his question earlier. Now he says, he's not talking about Duryodhana, he's not talking about anything external. He says, my nature, karpanya dosha, I am helpless. I am neither able to function as per my swadharma. When I feel I should be doing according to my swadharma, which is to be a kshatriya and fight and kill them, then my mind comes and taunts me by saying, how can you kill your guru? I would be committing the sin of guru vada. Right? Somebody who has contributed for your survival, helped you when you were in need, you must actually pay back. Even if you don't pay back, at least that is okay. But you can definitely not kill them. Be ungrateful to them by doing harmful actions to them. When somebody does some good to you, you must return this gesture in attitude and kind. Even by whatever reasons you don't do it or you're not able to do it, at least you should not harm them. So here Arjuna feels, even if I have not made Drona and Bhishma and all those people laugh, at least I should not be the cause of harming them. So when I decide to do my Kshatriya duty, this comes and taunts me. Now if I say, okay, let me go and beg, then the thought that I am not doing what I am supposed to do, and I am preparing myself to do what I should not be doing, that thought comes and taunts me. So I am in a helpless situation. This helplessness is karpanya dosha. And many times we are also caught like this. Isn't it?
So he's actually caught between two dharams. One, not to harm or not to fight with his teachers, and one that is a kshatriya and he has to go and
do his duty.
So he's caught between two duties.
And secondly, he is not able to be objective enough to see that on the battlefield it's not the guru or grandfather or anything. These are the opponents. You have to come to the present scenario and be objective. That objectivity Arjuna has lost. His nature means his intelligence, his thinking has been overpowered by the weak pity. The word pity is prefixed by the word weak because it's a weakness. Pity is not strength, it is a weakness. When you have sympathy for somebody, you do feel sorry for that person suffering, but you also have an understanding that there is a cause for their suffering. You will not go and remind them, you have paid for it, you suffered like that. But you understand there is some cause for which they are now suffering. But me being there, what best I can do to relieve their suffering, I do. But I lack an understanding. And there is no tinge of ego where I am slightly above in a situation where I can do something for them. If the tinge of ego is there, then it becomes pity. Right? If somebody has paid the price, they will have to suffer that. They have asked for it. They have ordered. Myself being an instrument, what best I can do in this world, I do. But I must understand that the law will have its own course. So my nature is overpowered by the taint of pity. Pity is a weakness and I am suffering from that weakness. First admission. It's not easy for a Kshatriya of Arjuna's caliber, somebody who is a leader, to admit his ignorance is not easy. Everybody has been asking for questions. So somebody who happens to be the leader there, he feels he must answer every question. A leader is one who understands that he may not have answer for all the questions. And therefore when he doesn't know the answer, he must say, well, I don't know. Only then he is a leader. Somehow you create an answer and give an answer. That is not the quality of a leader. Here Arjuna shows that he is a leader. He admits openly, I am confused. Firstly he says, my nature is overpowered by the taint of pity. Admission. Then, Prichami Twam. I ask you. When he says, I ask you, this is where he says, I am your disciple, in a way. Later on he uses that word also, the very same words. But now he is saying, I ask you. By asking, what happens? I become your disciple and I accept you as my guru. And who is he talking to? His very, very close friend. Usually we may go out and admit our ignorance, but we'll never admit our ignorance to our close people. Isn't it? We always want our close people to believe that we are knowledgeable. If somebody who is very close, have you ever seen anybody trying to come down from the ego level? It's not easy. Unless you had love. So here, Prichami Twam Dharma Sammuda Cheta. My thinking, my clarity, I don't have clarity as to what is my dharma, duty. I'm confused about my duty in the context here. This was the question last week everybody had. What is my duty? Which should precede what? The duty of a son vis-a-vis duty of a citizen. Duty of a police officer vis-a-vis duty of a father. Understand? So, Prichami Twam Dharma Sammuda Cheta Yat Shreyasya Nishchitam Bruhitanme. Tell me with certainty, decisively, which is good for me. We must remember these two words, Shreya and Preya. Preya means what is pleasant for us. Shreya means what is good for us. So Arjuna is not asking Krishna, please tell me a favorable reply. A reply that will be pleasant to me. Speak to me in sweet words and tell me what is pleasing to me. He is not asking that. He is telling Krishna, tell me conclusively what is good for me, Shreya. What we ask usually, oh God, please give me what is pleasant in life. We are attracted to pleasant things, not what is good for us. Here Arjuna is openly saying, Yashreyasya Nishchitam Bruhitanmi. Sishyasteham. I am thy disciple. Shadimam Twam Prapannam. Sishyasteham Shadimam Twam Prapannam. I am thy disciple. instruct me who has taken refuge in you. It's a complete surrender. See the contrast. He was talking as if he knew everything in the first chapter. So much he spoke. Now, in verse number 7, Arjuna Sharanagati happens. When the ego ripens, it falls. The fruit has to ripen. It gathers weight, it falls. Isn't it? Exactly like that. Here Arjuna is a ripened ego, ready for receiving the knowledge. He has understood that he is caught in helplessness, samsara. So he openly says, I am confused. It's not easy. Doesn't come the awareness of ignorance and the submission and asking unless we surrender. Like Jesus Christ says, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. Empty thyself, I shall fill thee. See, two things happen when they go through deep sorrow. Genuinely, there might have been a turnaround in their life which made them surrender fully. Probably that knock and shock that they have experienced has turned them around to be spiritual, genuinely. Or temporarily. Many times you feel a lot of people have been driven to spirituality to ask these questions and all these things temporarily. Like Kabir says, Dukh mein simran sab kare, sukh mein kare na koi. I think last week somebody asked, I think you asked the question in the end, right? After you had concluded the class, whether we are qualified, how do we know and all that. See, relatively, like I said, I was definitely not trying to impress anybody here. But relatively, I presume that none of you are going through any major problem or anything that has driven you to listen to Gita. So even while you are living your life, I'm sure everybody would have gone through some trouble and problems and ups and downs at all levels. So that has made you think, and even when you've not been driven to a deep sorrow situation or anything, you are still inclined to ask questions, think about it, spend some time for this every day, every week, which means you have some true qualifications. Right? So when you say, I've seen people who turn spiritual when deeply something affects them, many cases it's at the superficial level. But I agree with you, in few cases it has been a turnaround for them to completely understand that I am insignificant.
Like in this case, Arjuna's state of mind is completely despondent. So that, and slowly he is understanding his own logic and logic and then surrender. In people like us, I'm just wondering, maybe while we're learning Gita, of course, slowly we absorb. But a state of complete surrender is not.
It will happen over a period of time. See, the sense I can handle is how you feel in the beginning. But then slowly you understand that I do not know everything, I need to seek help. Right? And a surrender with reference to the self takes time. Even at a worldly level, we don't surrender to people. We think we are smart. From there to come to the spiritual field and realize that I am ignorant of the self, firstly to understand that I do not know. We may be hearing many times, you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the intellect, you are Atman, etc. Many times you would have heard, many books you would have read about it and all that. Still deep inside, the doubt doesn't come in you, that maybe I am not this body, mind, intellect. If I am not this body, mind, intellect, then who am I? I must know that. I may become comfortable with words, and the deep quest may not happen. But it has to happen to everybody at some point in time in their life. When that happens, then the surrender becomes full. So the knocks and shocks of life is conducive for people to turn. That's why Swami Ramakrishna says, at Bayonet's point, you will be made to turn spiritual. Bayonet, gun point. In the sense, some situation, something, you know, you will taste success and then you will think you've conquered the world and suddenly there will be some fall. You see, supposing you fall from this sofa that you are sitting on, no big deal. You fall from the first floor, it really hurts. Understand? You go and fall from the fifth floor, it's terrible. You understand? So what happens in life is, as you try to earn a living and fulfill your desires and entertainments and push yourself hard to earn and achieve success, and then when you fail in something and when you get that sorrow, it's like falling from that height. That really hurts. So that is why I said, you must allow the ego to ripen. Later on in the third chapter, Lord Krishna is going to say, don't unsettle the minds of the ignorant. All that you are supposed to do is simply render your actions attractive. Attractive. Render your actions attractive. You don't lecture, don't interfere with them. You simply live the knowledge. Make yourself as an example. Set yourself as an example. Now these people, they will be following, they'll be chasing success and all that. But then life is not just heights. It also has valleys. You understand? In fact, where there is a height, there is a valley accordingly. So the greater the height, the deeper the valley. And you need. So when the ego swells and swells and swells, and then when there is a fall, then that hurt is something that is too much. Then you know soul searching happens in many people. So here in Arjuna's case also, so egoistically he said, take my chariot and place it in between both the armies. I would like to see all have come to fight. Then the whipping of Krishna has helped him, and slowly the turn around happens. The turning point. The turning point was verse number 6 when he says, nor do we know. That confusion, and that further made him completely surrender. Karpanya dosha upahata subhavaha. My nature has been overpowered by the taint of pity. Firstly, he realized the problem is within me. If the problem is within me, the solution has to be within me. The first direction happens. It changes the track from trying to settle the problem externally. He was trying to go away, so he thought externally there will be a solution. Then he realized If I go away to the forest, then also there won't be solution, because now I am in the battlefield. Sitting here, I am agitated because I will be committing the sin of Guru Vada. Will I be comfortable if I go to the forest? If I go to the forest, maybe I will be free from the torture that I would have to kill my Guru. But something else will torture me. What is it? That I did not do my duty. I chickened out when I should have actually stood up. That will come and bother me. Isn't it? So there also I will not be happy. So therefore he realized running away is not a solution. Because physically I can run away, but how can I run away from my mind? That made him think that my mind is suffering from helplessness, weak pity.
No.
See, just take the example of the fruit. When it ripens and gathers weight, it falls. How else do you think you will surrender? You must get some hurt, na? See, a person who has not achieved much, who thinks he is nothing, for him there is not much of search started yet. When you fulfill, then you realize, because he will think that I don't have anything, probably happiness is there in that. When you have actually seen it all, you've seen it all. You've had the best of cars, you have had the best of experiences. Then you see, I mean, even in these things it's not there. A fellow who has not even experienced it, he thinks, oh, it's all there in that, and he will be chasing those things. You understand? He's so busy in trying to make a living. Here, when people have made not only their living, much, much more than that, they've experienced everything, you see, it's just boring. You know? When you go to Ananda Star, any beautiful places, few days it's fantastic. When we go there for, you know, our lectures, we stay there for 2-3 months minimum. So when people come, they say, oh my God, you are very lucky staying here for 2-3 months. What a fantastic place. It is a fantastic place. But I tell them, the servants, the people who are employed there, they are day in and day out, coming and going. They get utilized to that place. It's not a wow factor for them. For you, it's a wow factor. You understand? Similarly, when you do not have any of these things and you say, I will work and I'll earn it, I'll enjoy it, and you do it, the ego pushes you, and you achieve something in life. Right? From the cycle to a motorcycle, ego is little ripened. And from the motorcycle to a car, the ego is little more ripened. Then, you know, Mercedes Benz, little more ripened. Then designer clothes, this, that, you know. Then you see, in all these things, it's so, what do you call, for a fraction of a second, probably the happiness is there. Superficial. You start realizing it. That is when real soul searching happens. Where is it? Where is the happiness? You understand? That will be a, in other words, that sort of a soul searching will be really a deep soul searching. In the other cases, it is still not yet ripened, because I feel it's there and I have the power and capacity to work and get it. You know, So somewhere, I'm not saying everybody must come to that top level, this thing, and, but to somewhere down the line, when this experience happens, then they realize, no, there is something wrong.
As opposed to you experience it, you don't know also. So you feel that maybe there is happiness in that. When you experience it, you feel that there is not enough. I mean, it's so temporary.
See,
exactly.
In the book Vedanta Treatise, Swamiji gives a very interesting example. He says, how to gain wisdom, how to gain knowledge. He says, take the example of making curd, yogurt. You have to boil the milk and bring it to the lukewarm condition. It should neither be cold nor be too hot. So when a person is too much preoccupied in work, he also cannot gain knowledge. A fellow is too tamasic, no experience whatsoever, he also cannot gain knowledge. But that lukewarm condition, some experience hona chahiye, little bit of ripening should be there. That's what I'm saying. Then only to that milk, when you add jamun, it has a possibility of converting into curd. Right? So, when you are still not yet ripened to some extent, doesn't work. The other fellow is too much preoccupied in the world. Doesn't work. Somewhere when it hits, everybody will get in their life situations like this. Right? And then that makes them think. Then a turnaround happens. And many times I feel, when in sorrow, when people search for something, it is superficial. Till that sorrow situation continues. When that gets solved, they forget this. But when something hits them deeply, then that becomes permanent. Thereafter, it's not temporary. So here Arjuna completely surrenders to Krishna. All along, he had been looking at Krishna as his friend. Now he says, you are my guru. I am thy disciple. And therefore I ask you, since I have taken complete refuge in you, I ask you, please tell me decisively which is good for me. Now Arjuna has become the disciple and he has made Krishna the guru. Now Krishna is Partha Sarathi. Till now he was only Sarathi for Arjuna's chariot. He was only a chariot driver, car driver. Arjuna. So Partha Sarathi also incidentally happens to my guru's name, who has written the commentary of this book. So you know, now Arjuna said, please drive me. In life, why are we facing stress? We think we are driving. It's like when you are seated in the aircraft, the aircraft is taking you, carrying you. You don't have to keep your luggage on your head thinking that I will not burden the aircraft more. You are anyway seated in the aircraft. The aircraft only is carrying you. So why don't you simply check in the baggage? That's all it is. So surrender means what? You check in your worries and anxieties at the feet of the Lord and simply do your actions. Surrendering the ego, not the actions, not the thinking. I am confused, I lack clarity, and I ask you for clarity. Means what? I can't say, you drive, I will go to sleep. That is not surrender. You give me the clarity, I will be awake to listen to it, grab it fully. And with your help, and charge myself through you and then drive the chariot. That is surrender. So, try to memorize these words. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prichyamitvam dharmasam mudacheta. Open admission, I am confused. And for a kshatriya, a person who is looked up, and that too to a friend to say that I am confused, and in front of so many people on the battlefield, is not easy. And says, Yashreyasya nishitam bruhitanne. I want to do what is the right thing in the context. Not what is pleasing to me. Because many times we appoint the so-called people to give suggestions, but usually we want them to give acceptance to our suggestions. Isn't it? You just need few people to just agree with you. Even when there is a discussion, if you say, I beg to differ, then it becomes an argument, they'll start fighting with you. Supposing you say, yes, I agree with him or her, and then continue to say something against them, they'll agree. Because you initially agreed with him. You know, this is how the ego works. Well, I agree with you, but I think there is another way of looking at it, which is this way I suggest to you. When you say, you are right, means nobody wants to be sure that they are wrong. It's very interesting. So here Arjuna says, I am thy disciple. This is where Partha has become a student of Gita. And Krishna was made the guru. Guru doesn't come and declare himself as a guru to anybody. Wherever there is low pressure, there the wind goes. Correct or not? Wherever there is wind, I mean low pressure, the wind goes, is attracted. So no guru will go and declare himself as a guru to anybody. So in the Gita, it says, when the student is ready, guru comes. You in fact don't have to go from ashram to ashram to find a guru. When you are ready, you will see the guru appearing. So the Gita says, all you need to do is get yourself prepared. Nobody will be denied what they deserve. So when you have prepared yourself to be a student, it appears to you, comes to you. A lot of people, they say, oh, we've been having the Gita book for many years at home. I've seen it myself. My grandfather used to read it, so we had it. But I never read it. Suddenly something happened, then they went up and started reading Gita. Everything, you know, comes when you're prepared, when you're ready. So that is why Gita says, you don't waste your time in searching for a guru. You just prepare yourself to be a student. Guru never asserts himself as a guru. He waits for the cup to become empty. A disciple went up to a Zen master in the evening. At the time, the Zen master was pouring the tea from the kettle into a cup. As he was pouring, this disciple said, please accept me as your disciple. He's not actually somebody who is already a disciple, but you had come to request the Guru to be accepted as a disciple. So he came and said, please accept me as your disciple. The Zen master just simply kept on pouring the tea, and the tea got filled, it has filled the cup and it started overflowing. He still continued to pour, and this fellow is continuously asking, please accept me, please accept me. So after some time he said, can't you see, I am already answering you. The cup is full. Empty your cup, I will fill you. Means what? He is still not qualified. The surrender is not complete. But here if you see, the surrender is complete. Many times we say we are surrendering, but we don't surrender. It is said in the Mahabharata, when Draupadi was disrobed in the parliament, she held a sari in one hand and with the other she called for Krishna. He never came. When she let go of the other hand and threw completely and said, oh God, oh Krishna, then he is supposed to have come. But what it is trying to tell us is, the surrender must be complete. Not because Krishna is so egoistic that he wants totally surrendered people. Unless you have surrendered totally, you are not fully ready to receive. Isn't it? Even if there is an ounce of poison in the milk, it is still not conducive for consuming. So even if there is an ounce of ego, to that extent we won't benefit. That is the point. So here earlier he said, nor do we know. Now that is also gone. He says, you know, I don't know. I completely surrender to you. And even if it's on the battlefield, if somebody has surrendered, it becomes the duty of a guru to give him the Gita. So that's the beauty of this surrender portion. You must dwell in it and see how, you know, after so many verses, 47 verses in the first chapter, then the next 7th verse, 54 verses it took for Arjuna. It's not easy. It took 54 verses, isn't it, for Arjuna to surrender. So it takes a long while, but once you surrender, you've made it. Instruct me who has taken refuge in me. It's like they call us hotline between Indian Prime Minister and American President.
Instant
communication. But hotline, you understand, I have made all arrangements for hotline connections. That's what he's saying. Instruct me, I have taken refuge in you. I can completely absorb. So when a Sishya goes to the Guru, he traditionally takes few wooden sticks, twigs, called as samhita. The dry ones he takes. Why dry ones? If it is not dry, then it cannot be lit. Wet wooden sticks will be of no use. Isn't it? So he takes dry ones. Means the student is saying, I am dry. I am completely dry. You can light the fire of knowledge in me. And where is the fire? It is inside the wood itself. Wood symbolizes the Shishya, who is a dry wood, which is the fuel. And where is the fire? Inside the wood only. So what does the Guru do? Guru simply churns the wood, then the wood out of friction catches fire. So Arjuna has become a dry wood here. Completely dried away all his wetness. He had some wet qualities in him. So he was speaking. He had now completely dried himself off and he has given himself to Krishna. Even you can see this laundry fellows, you know. Nowadays everybody uses electrical iron and all that, even in laundry shops. But still you can see few people have that old, that huge thick iron, which inside he puts the charcoal. Right? It's quite heavy. So just one press, you know, he'll be able to do it. Inside he puts the charcoal, and before he does that he will select the charcoal and dry it. I've seen it myself sometimes when the clothes have been given outside. Why is it still not come? Then that laundry fellow will say, sir, the charcoal is still wet, to wait for some time. Yes. Dry wood. In every one of us there is Atma. Just like the fire is there in the wood. But unless and until we become dry, the Guru will not be able to churn it to make the fire from inside manifest and dry up the entire vasanas, the wood, the fuel. So here Arjuna has become the dry wood, complete surrender. So karpanya dosha utahata subhava. I am suffering from this helplessness, weak pity. Therefore, I am confused about what is my duty, shreya, dharma. Hence, I ask you, who do I ask you? I ask you what is good for me in the context, the shreya. And tell that conclusively, means without any doubt in me, you must solve my problem. Instruct me, for I have taken refuge in you. This is the total surrender of Arjuna. And he continues, Nahi prapashyami mamapanudhyat, Nahi prapashyami mamapanudhyat, yachokamuchoshanamindriyanam, yachokamuchoshanamindriyanam, avapya bhumavasapatnam riddham, avapya bhumavasapatnam riddham, rajam suranam apichadipatyam, rajam suranam apichadipatyam, nahi prapashyami mamapanudhyat, yachokamuchoshanamindriyanam, avapya bhumavasapatnam riddham, rajyam suranam apichadipatyam. I do not see that which can remove the grief which is drying up my senses. Even on obtaining prosperous an unrivaled kingdom on earth and lordship over the gods. See, he is only making his stance very clear. It in fact makes the job of the Guru much simpler. His surrender is total. This verse is also emphasizing on that, in the sense, I have thought about it and to me it seems in the outside world there is no solution. That's what he's saying here. and I do not know anything about the inside world. So what is he saying? As a Kshatriya, to me, this grief that I am suffering from now, I am not able to see any possibility of it going away with conquering the kingdom. So he says, conquering kingdom on earth cannot solve my problem. So if I think conquering kingdom on earth may not solve my problem, but probably if somebody assures me that it will be unrivaled kingdom that you will be conquering, because it's not enough if you conquer a kingdom, it should not have any rivalry, so that temporarily you will be ruling for 4-5 years, then the other fellows may come and conquer you. So here, no, it is not only conquering the kingdom on earth, but an unrivaled kingdom on earth. That also doesn't seem to be solving the grief. What else? Not only unrivaled kingdom, supposing it's unrivaled kingdom, but there is not enough money, the economy is poor. President Obama has taken over as president not when America is economically in strong position. He has taken over when America is in economically in trouble, right? So here, not only I have been, if I conquer a kingdom which is unrivaled, but economically strong and pleasurable also. And not only kingdom on earth, unrivaled and pleasurable, but lordship over the law gods, means heaven. In the sense, he is just saying, Krishna, I have surrendered to you totally. I would like to say only one thing, that is, nothing externally conquered probably can quench my grief. It means maybe there is something within me which I have to conquer to get rid of this grief, and I have no knowledge or access to it, which I believe you have. When you go to the doctor because you are suffering from problem, let us say you had moved from one city to another city and you have been taking treatment from some other doctor in that city, previous city. Now that you have come to the new city, probably this doctor from that city had referred your case to some doctor, or maybe he says you find out whoever is good, there you go. So you have found out and you go to this new doctor. When you go there, what are you supposed to do? You are supposed to take your file with you. What are the diagnoses that that fellow has done? What is the treatment that he has been giving you? How far you have progressed? Right? That makes this doctor's case easy, huh? Yes or no? Supposing you say everything is lost and you don't remember anything, he has to do the whole thing afresh. Not that he cannot do, but he can do. It will take some time. Exactly like that, Arjuna is making Krishna's job. So he is telling Krishna, I have understood now. Outside things will not compensate for my inside grief. He's realized this much, but the problem is he doesn't know how to get into that inside things. For that he needs guidance. Firstly, this is what I'm trying to tell you. None of us realize. Even some of us may think study of Gita alone is enough. Study of Gita is also external. Getting the help from the study of the Gita, one must go within. You can go to ashrams, then also your problem will not solve. It may solve temporarily. You can go to Rishikesh, you can go to Ganges and take a dip. You can get into Bhakti Sutras and all these things, temporarily they can solve your problem. Ultimately, what is the real help? Getting within. And Arjuna has realized, I don't think so, happiness is outside. It's not an easy thing. To me, this is what it seems from this verse. Otherwise, it amounts to be, having surrendered, why should he talk? Having surrendered, he should have kept quiet. Right? Having surrendered, he makes that surrender much more complete by saying, sir, I have understood that the outside things doesn't solve my grief. This is what he's saying here. I do not feel that which can remove the grief which is drying up my senses, even on obtaining prosperous and unrivaled kingdom. So the external conquest doesn't seem to be the solution for my problem. The solution for my problem seems to be the inner conquest. For that I need your help. I tried this method, I could not solve. I tried this method, I could not solve. So therefore, all the methods I knew I have exhausted. So now you have told the person what all methods you have tried. So you must have covered a lot of basics. So he need not waste in covering those basics. Isn't it? That's what it is. A complete surrender. Now having said this, he keeps going. Now Sanjaya takes over. Sanjaya uvacha, Sanjaya uvacha, eva muktva Rishikesham, eva muktva Rishikesham, gudakesha parantapa, gudakesha parantapa, nayotsya iti govindam, nayotsya iti govindam, uktva tushnim babuvaha, uktva tushnim babuvaha. Sanjaya uvacha, eva muktva Rishikesham, gudakesha parantapa, nayotsya iti govindam, uktva tushnim babuvaha. Sanjaya uvacha, Sanjaya said, having spoken thus to Rishikesha, Lord Krishna, the Lord of senses, gudakesha here refers to Arjuna, Rishikesha refers to Krishna, gudakesha refers to Arjuna, and parantapa also refers to Arjuna, the destroyer of foes. Said to Govinda, Govinda again Krishna, having spoken thus to Rishikesha, gudakesha, the scorcher of foes, said to Govinda, I will not fight. I will not fight, and became silent. Till my inner conflicts are solved, I will not be able to do the action externally. Till I have become clear in my decisions, how can I fight? If I go into the fight with my split personality, how I can be fighting there totally? So he said, gudakesha means one who is alert. So that Arjuna, who is alert, said, I have become your disciple, now I will not fight. I want that jnana, stability, to be able to act. And he became silent. Now this becoming silent is very important. Unless you have become silent, you cannot receive knowledge. You know, one of the methods we practice during sadhana is maunam. Lot of people in the name of practicing maunam play defendam. That's not maunam. You might as well talk. Right? Maunam, when you practice silence, that is when you are giving yourself an opportunity to observe your thoughts. isn't it? When there is inner noises which are feeble, but the outer noises are so loud, the feeble noises are not heard. When we keep quiet, then you are able to hear the sound coming from the AC. So to be able to listen to the feeble noises inside, we give ourselves an opportunity by maintaining silence externally. That is one main reason for practicing silence. Unless we become aware of our own thoughts, we will not be able to identify the positive and negative thoughts and identify with positive and not identify with negative. It's a very important exercise. So Arjuna became silent. One more verse.
Tamu vacharishi keshaha, tamu vacharishi keshaha, prahasanniva bharata, prahasanniva bharata, sena yorubhayor madhye, sena yorubhayor madhye, vishidantamidam vachaha, tamu vacharishi keshaha, prahasanniva bharata, sena yorubhayor madhye, vishidantamidam vachaha.
To him who was despondent in the midst of the two armies, Rishikesha, Lord Krishna, Lord of senses, one who has mastered the senses, smiling as it were. You will never find Krishna's picture without a smile. If you ever find one, then I am sure that would have been painted by you. Because of your, all your agitations, you will project it on Krishna. Krishna spoke these words, Rishikesha spoke these words, O Bharata, O Dhritarashtra. Krishna smiling as it were, because he knows that Krishna has got a disciple now. Somebody who has become a disciple, totally surrendered, and he has the solution. What more satisfaction can Krishna have? To see, he is able to help his own friend who has become now completely available. Because if he had not become completely available, whatever knowledge is available with me, even then I cannot help him. Even today they say, you must have faith in the doctor. You do not have faith, doctors will not be able to cure you. Isn't it? So that gives that smile in Krishna. Okay, this guy has surrendered. Solution, now things can be for better. Then he starts the Gita. We will start it next week. Verse number 11 of chapter 2, onwards the Gita begins.
Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.